thank you now that in praise, demons flee.
Yes.
Sicknesses are healed.
That's right.
Lacks and wants become need and praise and abundance.
Yes. Yes.
We have no need but you, Lord.
Yes.
There is no sickness in you.
Yes.
There is no lack, want, and need, worry, or fear. So we say to you, Lord, thank you. Thank you that all of these things are removed and cast into the lake of fire where they belong. And you are the only thing we love. You are the only thing we focus on. And you are the only thing we need. Let that be settled in this place with this prayer, with this praise, and with the word to come. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I need my book there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It was not mentioned that we have Bible study on Tuesday night. We have another Bible study, group Bible study on Wednesday night, where we're studying the Holy Spirit. We're learning a lot. Our strength is increased. Praise the Lord. If anything is interfering with your learning, you need to stop that and focus on learning. Hallelujah. Well, I wasn't here last week, and I thank Chuck for filling in. I understand that he did good. I've got the CD, but I haven't been able to listen to it yet. I will do that. Praise the Lord. I hope you learned. I hope he learned in the process. That's what usually happens. Whoever's standing up here learns more than whoever sits out there. So we're privileged to do that. Are you ready? All righty. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Genesis chapter 50. We're going to do just a moment's review. Just a moment's review. The title of today's message is Part 4 of God's Will is a Trip. The title is There's Always a Reuben. There's always a Reuben. That's not a Reuba. That's a Reuben. All right, Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 21. If you'll stand with me, we're going to read this. As I read this, I want instantly for you to feel how we don't fit up, how we don't live up to this statement, but we're going to.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Amen?
Amen.
So say it, amen, like it's in your life.
Amen.
All right. Father, we receive it now, and we're going to receive the more that you're going to give this morning.
Yes.
We're going to walk out of here as we prophesied already, greater, bigger, and changed in Jesus' name. Y'all may be seated. Amen. Once again, in this study of Joseph and the trials he went through from youth all the way up to the time when he ruled, we're not just looking for a good Bible story. We're looking for something that can help us. Is it all right to be that selfish?
Yes.
All of you need to say yes. Because this is what God would will, so it can't be selfish. We're studying and learning that God has a plan for every person in here.
That's right.
Not for Joseph. That's right. Not if your name is Joseph. For every person in here.
That's right.
All right? For the church, for individuals, and that this plan either has been or will be revealed to us. In most cases, simply because of the age in here, has been revealed. And our problem is that we have this revelation and we shove it away. Or it gets beat down through trials and tribulations or worries or frets or fear. Most of it's our fault, but that's okay. The Holy Spirit's faithful.
Amen.
He'll bring it back. And that the plan of God is not about me, it's about others.
Yes.
Okay? We also have come to believe these five things that when we've seen the plan of God, when we know the plan of God, that it takes some action on our part.
Right.
Do you know any word of God takes an action on your part?
Right.
Don't ever think that just because it's the word of God that you don't have any choice. It's not that way.
Right.
It takes an action on your part. Number one, you must have a full belief that it is God. It's the hardest thing that everybody in here has to do. Number one hardest thing. To believe that what you know in your heart is God. That's a very difficult thing. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy that God in your life, in your heart, in your mind. He wants you to doubt, be full of doubt and unbelief. Did you know that God will back you up even when you're wrong if it's on faith? Now, that was a wild statement. Just remember what I said. God will back you up even when you're wrong if you do it in faith. Now, it won't be wrong. He'll change it to right. That's the promise we have. Okay? In other words, He's not depending on our wisdom. He's depending on His and our faith. Let me say that to you again. He is not depending on our wisdom. He's depending on our faith and His wisdom. Okay. Number two, we have to have a knowing that if God said it, it's going to happen.
Amen.
All right. Number three, if God put it in us, He'll carry it out.
Yes, right.
That means Alpha and Omega.
Yes.
Beginning and the end. If He put it in us, now please, I didn't say I'll carry it out. I said if He put it in us, He'll carry it out.
Amen.
Number four, it is His plan. He must make it happen.
That's right.
Now please, here's the second hardest one I've mentioned here, is to keep your hands off.
Yes.
I mean, this is, for everybody in here, this is the hardest one. For it to say it's God's plan, because the next thing we say is, I must do. Well, there's going to be some things we have to do. Don't be goofy. You can't get God's will done on the flat spot in front of the TV.
Right.
That's probably not going to happen. So don't just say it's all His doing. Your very next word is, God, I know it's Your plan. What do You want me to do?
Amen.
And just keep saying that until you know.
Right.
All right, number five. All we do is believe and obey.
Yes.
In that order, and it's correct. All we do is believe and obey.
Amen.
Then start it over again.
That's right.
Believe and obey, and to where you're not too sure which comes first. You're just doing it all the time. Y'all can say amen about that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here's some other things that we have to know in our lives. I'm going to read them to you. The plan of God to use Joseph did not begin with Joseph. It began by placing and training all those before Joseph in the right place at the right time. Do you guys really think you're that important? See, I believe you're that important because God says so. I don't base what I believe about your importance, thank goodness, on what I see you do or hear you say or anything like that. I believe that you have a position in life, and I believe you have a will from God in your life, and whether you like it or not, what I mean by that is whether you approve of how it came to you or not, it's God's plan. It was planned for you to have a parent. I don't care if you like the parent or not. It doesn't make any difference. Somewhere in that time, that parent instilled something in you, bad or good. But God said what was meant for bad, He can turn to good, so you don't have any right to call it bad.
Amen.
Isn't that strange? You just say, thank you, God, for everything.
Amen.
Joseph is teaching us that. It doesn't make any difference where he was or what situation he was. He thanked God and he obeyed God.
Amen.
Now, you remember, God changed Joseph's name to Israel. Remember that?
Right.
I'm sorry, Jacob. What did I say, Joseph? I'm sorry, Jacob's name to Israel. That's Joseph's father. And yet when Joseph shared the will of God to Jacob or Israel, he put him down.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
Now why? Why would that happen? Well, number one is you can't always depend on your parents. Don't you tell my children that. Sometimes people with the best intentions are going to say the worst things. They're going to do the dumbest things. That's what teaches us to keep our eyes on God.
Yeah.
Come on, if everything went well, you wouldn't need to trust God.
That's right.
Keep, and those humps and bumps and trials and struggles and all that, that causes you to either fail or keep your eyes on God.
Right.
All right, B. There are specific preludes to our call. Joseph's father, Jacob's example, was changed. His name was changed. But he was given a command or a vision that introduces Joseph and his task and his future. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know, some of you know that I'm a terrorist when it comes to faith. That's how you know me. I don't want to hear the problems, and I don't hear a doctor's diagnosis. I have no patience for that at all. I know who the healer is. I know who the supreme physician is. I know who the provider is. I know who the Savior is. Where do you think that came from?
From the generation before.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Several generations before, and I can go back and see that now a lot clearer than when I was young.
Yeah.
I can see my dad's dad when he got saved, when a man pulled a gun on him, stuck in his chest. My granddad said, "Pull it. You don't have the guts." Now do you see a little bit of my history? When my other, well, my grandfather, my mother's father, was a man of God like you wouldn't believe. He didn't believe anything but God. That's all he believed. He raised his children to believe that. He raised them to be at total peace in God.
Amen.
So I have war and peace in me. I'm totally at peace when I'm at war. That's lineage. That's God's provisions. That's God's heritage to me. Then I've got my father, who came from an unbelieving mean no faith. He believed that work cured everything. That's what he was raised at. Taking me to people like Oral Roberts while I'm still a baby. And while he's holding me, he's healed from kidney disease. You hear what I'm saying? These are the things that come down the line. If you're struggling in some parts of your life, it's probably because your ancestors struggled. They didn't get things settled in their life like they should have. Joseph was able to accomplish this because Jacob heard there's going to be kings come out of you. He heard it. He didn't just hear it, he believed it. He only saw it in kind of a beat-down position, but it still benefited him.
Yeah.
C, do not assume that because we know it is God's will, it'll be easy. If you want to know something dumb, how to do something dumb, do this. Well, since God said it's going to be easy, everything's just going to go rosy. Everybody's going to love me. Everybody's going to bow to me. Going to throw rose petals when I walk. Somebody, you've been listening to the wrong crowd. Do not assume that because we know it's God's will, it will be easy. It will take total faith and total determination to accomplish God's will. Why? Because God's will, do you understand that God's will is total?
Amen.
I mean, there's nothing left out. It is perfect. It will be finished. It will be accomplished.
Amen.
And if we doubt, we miss the completion.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't miss it. It's going to happen. And as we studied last week, all God needs is a willing heart to change the world.
Amen.
He doesn't need your intelligence. He doesn't need your beauty. He doesn't need your speech. He doesn't need your boldness. All of that helps. What He needs is a willing heart.
Amen.
All right, let's get into today. Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to try to read this in total without preaching too much in the middle. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. Some of this is repetitive, but we've got to get this down. I'm telling you, this is an important story. We've got to get it down. Now, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Why?
Because they hated him.
Because what?
They hated him.
Why?
Dream.
Jealousy.
Jealousy, hate, because of the will of God, the dream that God put in his heart. Now, did you get that? I want you to get that. I just got through telling you, just because you know it's God's will, don't mean it's going to be easy.
Amen.
You're going to have people hate you. They want you dead. They want you out of the way. And the more you get into God's will, the more that's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you, I've said before, if you don't have any wars in your life, you're not doing God's will.
Amen.
You shouldn't worry about those things that are going on in your life. God's got them planned out so you'll win them.
Amen.
Then they said to one another, these are the brothers, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what it will become of his dreams. That's kind of like saying, we'll see, God. Ooh. Wasn't his dreams.
That's right.
Now, here's basically the title, verse 21. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he..." Now, let's kind of change this. "That Reuben might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." Mm-hmm. Now, do you know who Reuben was?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Oldest brother.
Oldest brother. That means he was the top dog in the brotherhood. That's why there wasn't a lot of argument what he said went. Now, he didn't say it right. Do you notice he didn't say it right? He didn't say, "You're not going to touch this kid." What he said was, "We'll throw him in the pit." That's called being politically correct. Going with the crowd. Making sure everybody likes you. With a back plan of, "I'll get him back to dad." Why did I say that? Because Reuben don't have to be perfect. He just has to be doing the will of God.
Amen.
Verse 23. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Even the pit was prepared. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there?" See where his mind was. "If we kill our brother and conceal his blood, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him." Y'all like that one? "No, we won't hurt him. We'll just sell him. That way we won't be in trouble. For he is our brother in our flesh." Isn't it nice of him to think about that now? They got him in the pit. They were going to kill him, but they won't do that. They'll just sell him. He is our brother, you know. We got to treat him right. Verse 28. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Now just remember, this trip to Egypt was a plan of God. Right? The trip to Egypt was a plan of God. Then Reuben returned to the pit. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. He's taking responsibility for this. He tore his clothes, and he returned to his brother and said, "The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?" In other words, this is bad, and I'm taking responsibility. Now, what we see here is the other brothers did this behind Reuben's back. Even though they were submitted to headship, they were sinning behind his back.
Yep.
How many of us have that in our lives? Then we say, "Oh yeah, I'm submitted to headship," but the first time the headship turns, we go do what we want to do. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" Now, one of the things I want all of us to know is you can lie without lying. There's no option. When you lie, you lie. I don't care if you're trying to sneaky about it. And they were lying. They said, do you know for sure this is your son's tunic?" Why would they ask that? They already knew. Well, because they're trying to portray it that they don't know how this happened. So it's a lie, correct?
Right.
Okay. They've sinned against their father. They've sinned against their brother. They've sinned against their God. And now they're going to cover it up. Because after all, they love their brother and their father. Verse 33, and he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic." Now, listen to this. This is how some people's faith works. They find a tunic, so here's his statement. "A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Now, the reason I bring this up is because God can work through even men with no faith to get his will done. And there is no faith here. Even though God had told this man, "You're going to have kings from you," he said, "Well, this son's gone, dead, he's eaten up." Nobody even suggested it. Be cautious in your conversation. Make sure that you don't fall into a lie because somebody else is lying.
Amen.
If a doctor lies to you and tells you you've got to die tomorrow, don't follow. Don't say, "How long have I got to live? What am I dying from?" Just say, "No, I'm not."
Amen. Try it.
Don't go into the, don't get involved with the lie. Verse 34, then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, I like wallowing in this mud. I like it when you give me special attention while I'm mourning. Now, come on, I ought to step on some toes now. How many of us like to be comforted instead of instructed? Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Now is there a plan there?
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm going to stop there because you can see that the plan of God is going to continue right through all of this mess, right through the lies, right through the deception, right through the hatred, and right through the lying love. How many of you know what I mean by when I say there's always a Reuben? Let me say it this way. You're not the only one that knows the will of God.
Yep.
The enemy knows it too.
Right.
How come? Well, because the first thing he did was blurt it out. You see, the devil's not tapped into God's phone lines. Don't ever think that. Most of the time, the reason the devil knows everything we're up to is because we just chatter our silly heads off.
Mm-hmm.
We talk and we talk and we talk and we're not thinking. Some of us are anointed to talk. Some of us are anointed to listen. Most of the time, the anointed listeners are talking and the anointed talkers are listening. The Bible says meditate on these things. It doesn't say blab these things.
Amen.
Maybe we wouldn't have so much trouble with the devil if we didn't blab so much. Okay. All right, now what are we supposed to speak? The Word of God.
Truth.
We're not supposed to go around and telling everybody the plans of God. I've known the plans of God in my life for a long time, and I'm not going to tell them to you because you will get discouraged. My plans are not your plans. You may be involved in that, but they're my responsibility. I am to garden them. I am to till. I am to fertilize. I am to water. I am to wash them with the Word.
Amen.
You say amen.
Amen.
You don't have to tell me about you know the plans of God. Just say, I've got a plan of God's going on in my life, and I say amen. Now we don't give place to the enemy. A few days ago, and I'll show you what I mean, and you can, if you'll think about some people in your life, you'll understand. A few days ago, in fact, I was talking to Harry on the phone, and I had a phone call come in from Texas. And I realized in my spirit that I needed to stop talking to Harry, and I need to stop, listen to this. Not because the man said, I got a word from you. It's something going on in the spirit. I told Harry, I'll call you back. I got on the phone. Unexpected phone call, no plan at all. And out of the blue, this man began to prophesy to me. And he prophesied my future according to what I already know it to be. Not according to some selfish thing. He's trying to get me to do something. Always watch out for that.
Amen.
He didn't have the slightest idea what he was talking about. But I knew it was God because it was full of encouragement. It came at a time when let's just say, it was pretty low, pretty tough time. And it was the right time. It was full of encouragement and future and hope. It was Reuben. It was God. When the enemy is trying to kill the will of God, there's going to be a Reuben step up and say something to you or do something for you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now, once again, this Reuben saved me from my own thoughts. Most of you need to be saved from your own thoughts, not from somebody else. Saved me from my own thoughts, put my thoughts back where it's supposed to be, gave power to God's will in me. Now that's what prophecy really is. It's giving power to God's will in you. It was from God, and it was for God. Amen? All right. Now let's go through a few minutes here. I might even get out early today. What does a Reuben look like? Really? What do most of us think Reuben looks like? You're right. But what do most of us think that Reuben looks like? Well, he's got to have a title of a prophet. He's got to have it. He's got to have a title. He's got to be in a suit. His hair's got to be slick. He's got to be able to sing, play an instrument, dance. He's got to be able to persuade me and move me, and I got to see the light shake. He's got to have a big red S on his chest. He's got to come in a white cape on a white horse. That's right, because we won't have one. But that doesn't mean we don't have expectations of what a deliverer is to look like. We all have expectations of what a deliverer looks like. And we forget that God can use any old jackass to deliver. Right?
Yep.
We have a story in the Bible where a jackass spoke, so we know it can be a jackass. Let's start from there. Let's don't start with Superman. Let's start with normal man. A Reuben is going to look like a normal man. Number one, he's never going to be what we expected or what we pictured. Number two, he's never going to be dressed in a Superman outfit. Never going to be on a white horse. Never going to be on a white horse. Don't pray for the prophet. God's going to send who he's going to send.
Amen.
Three, he may not make you feel safe or secure. Let me show you a picture. If Joseph would have been on the conversation where the brothers were talking about what to do with him, one side says, let's kill him. Reuben says, no, let's don't. Let's just throw him in a pit and we'll take care of him later. Oh, now I feel safe. It's not what we expected, is it? Well, I tell you what, this is going to make you feel safe. We're going to sell you to a slave trader. Oh, now I feel good. You see the different kinds of Reubens we're talking about? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to make you feel good. I'm going to sell you to someone else. Oh, I feel better now. Someone else. Number four. A Reuben is there and used to protect the plan of God, not to please you.
Yes.
Now, this is the most important one we need to understand. A Reuben, one that speaks something, one that does something, one that causes something to happen, is there to protect the plan of God, not to please you. Man, do you understand how much safer we would feel if we'd get this down? That it's not up to my stinking feelings. It's up to my faith. Number five. He may not be well known, but will have enough authority to complete the task. Why did I say that? Because don't be looking to Benny Hinn or Joyce Myers or whatever prophet you got, or whoever you think is on cloud nine. You wouldn't have liked the looks of Jesus, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. You would not have obtained or received any confidence by looking at Jesus. It has to be according to your faith, not by what you see.
Yes.
Number six, probably does not completely understand why he should go out on a limb for you. There's a good one. I could be a Reuben to you and I may not like it. I could be a Reuben to you and you may not like it. Well, sorry. God forgot to ask either one of us. Yeah, because he really doesn't want our opinion. He wants our obedience. Number seven, you will benefit for Reuben's obedience. You will benefit for Reuben's obedience.
Right.
You may not see it short term, but you will see it. Let me read you a scripture to back that up. Genesis 42, 21 through 23. Genesis chapter 42, 21 through 23. This is what Reuben said. Now, we know what he said earlier. This is after he gets caught. This is when he appears before Joseph. He does not know he's appearing before Joseph because Joseph is talking through what they call an interpreter, somebody else, his sidekick, whatever. And from some of the things that are being said, Reuben knows. So verse 21. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. This is Reuben. We are guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul. We saw the pain we were putting him through when he pleaded with us. So Joseph didn't go down saying, thank you. He went into the pit begging them not to put him in a pit. And we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. Reuben says, did I not speak to you saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. Reuben is still speaking God. They did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. You want me to tell you what the reason, the first scripture that we read this morning, the reason Joseph could say that? Because he heard Reuben say this. See, God's plan is intricate. It is so detailed it's beyond our wildest imaginations. But this broke Joseph's heart when he heard Reuben now basically saying, I'm sorry we ever did this. Why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't we listen to him when he was pleading? So God had to touch Joseph's heart. How many of you know that you can't forgive people that are unforgivable? You can't do that. I'm going to remind you of a mini sermon on communion. If you don't have that, you need to listen so you'll understand. Nobody owes you anything. And you can't forgive anybody of anything. Because the sin was never against you. It was against God. And not one amen. There was one. I'm sorry. I apologize. You can't forgive anybody of anything. It's a misinterpretation of the Scripture. If you look, it says loose it. It doesn't mean forgive it. It means loose it. If the sin was not against you, and it never is, you don't own the paper on it. You cannot release it. You can loose it to God. You can turn the whole thing over to God, but you can never forgive it. When a man dies so that he can forgive, he's not going to give that right to you. Jesus died to get the paper on you. He's not releasing it to anybody else. That's pretty high theology. Y'all can study that out, but just listen to me now. Now let's turn this. Let's say a couple of things that we must. I think one of the hardest things I'm having with this is to get you to believe that you're not Joseph, but you're as good as Joseph. Okay? That's a very difficult thing for all of us to understand that we could rule the world. And it's not because we're brilliant. It's because God has a will. We could be the Reuben. I'm not looking forward to be a Reuben, but okay, if that's what you want, God, as long as it helps your will, I'm for it. All right, number one. The dream or vision of God's will was and is great. Do you understand that God never gives you a small vision? Please, for those of you that nearly have lost your vision, God never gave you a little weeny vision. He always placed something on you that's bigger than you. It's so big that it scares you. Your natural, normal response, everybody that God's vision is or His will is revealed to you, your first statement is, I can't do that. That's the normal standard reaction. I think it happens to everyone. I can't do that. God says, I know you can't. Keep that in mind. Keep it in mind. You'll be safe as long as you keep that in mind. It's my vision. It's not yours. I'm asking you to accomplish some things, to do some things, but remember, I'm the one going to do it. A vision from God, a will from God will benefit the world. You mean I'm going to end up like Joseph? I didn't say that. I said it will benefit the world. It is not up to me to try to figure out how it's going to do it. It's up to you to believe that it will. It's up to you to believe that it will benefit the world. B. It did promote Joseph and his family. God's will promote you and your family. Amen. If you'll stop doing your will. We have people here. They're not here this morning because they're not doing the will of God. They succumb to something else. I'm tired. I'm sick. I'm worried. I'm blah, blah, blah. When the answer is always here, my rest is in Jesus.
That's right.
My wealth is in Jesus. My health is in Jesus. I'm not going to get it anywhere else.
Right.
You want to get your family promoted? You want to help your family? You want to help you? Work hard at serving God. Quit trying to coast. Work hard at it. Number two, the enemy knew the will of God and wanted it destroyed. I can go over here to Deborah. I think that Deborah believes that one of the things she must do for God is to dance. I believe that about her. So what does God do? I mean, what does the devil do? Tries to cripple her. Now we take care of the dancing. You can't do the will of God. Nah, nah, nah. She has to believe her way out of that. God's for it. He sent Jesus. He's already healed you. That's what the Bible says. You just got to believe it. Why? So you can accomplish the will of God. This isn't about whether we have a toothache or we don't have a toothache. This is so we can accomplish the will of God.
Amen.
This isn't about whether you're rich or not. This is about, are you going to accomplish the will of God? All these things shall follow those that believe.
Yes.
The enemy knew the will of God and wanted to destroy it. So what did he do? He raised up hate, fear, and envy.
That's right. Yes.
I don't know. Y'all willing to handle the truth? The truth is, all your problems are based around fear and envy.
Mm-hmm.
All of my problems are based around that.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of what he might do to me. I'm afraid of what she might do to me. Oh, kiss my grits. Why don't you just listen to the first part of this? I'm afraid. Now that means I'm sinning against God. I need to repent and turn from that.
Amen.
I'm worried about what those people or those things may do. Listen to what you're saying. I'm worried. Stop sinning against God. Repent and turn from your wicked ways.
Amen.
One amen. There's nothing. And Chuck, we need to remember this. There's nothing that we can do wrong. And I have the hardest time of all, and this whole all of you together, I have the hardest time with this. There's nothing I can do wrong. I can say that, and it just don't come out good. I don't interpret it very well in my walk. But I can tell you that what the devil means for bad, God will turn to good. That doesn't. He didn't say, when I do good things, I get credit. I get credit when I do things. But then I say, well, they have to be perfect, right, God? No. But I have to understand high math. I have to understand finance. I've got to go to Bible college. No. What was Joseph's qualifications? One other one. We studied that last week. He said to his father, here I am. In the midst of fear and threat, he said, here I am. So he wants to raise up hate, fear, and envy. The second thing he does in the trying to destroy the will of God is to eliminate and or discourage the called one. And I want you to do something for me right quick. I want, with your voice, I want you to say, I am the called one.
I am the called one.
One more time. Do it again.
I am the called one.
Okay, now that you've done that, you know that the enemy's out to discourage you and kill you.
Yes, right?
The minute you begin to believe in your heart that God has called you to something, then you must know in your heart the enemy's going to try to divert that or kill it or destroy it. And it's right. And the easiest thing to do is to be discouraged. It's very difficult to walk up to Chuck and say, the devil's going to kill you. Because he's going to say, uh-uh. No, sir, I reject that. So that one we got about. But what about these little things when we get into these things that discourage us? They just pound and they hit, and we can't stop them from coming, and we just get more discouraged and more discouraged. Then there has to be a Reuben.
Yes, right.
What's a Reuben? That's a helper of God.
Amen.
Come along, even if it doesn't look like a helper from God. It delivers you from the hand of the enemy.
Yes, right. Amen.
What was Joseph's fate? The brothers were going to kill him. Reuben says, no. So he didn't die. Now, I understand that Joseph said some things too there, but it's not all written down. Comes even later, says he begged not to die. All right, number three. This is kind of where you and Reuben get in involved. He's going to raise up one or those that will defend the will and call of God. Have you ever defended the call of God in your life? If you haven't, the enemy's won. Because the first accuser of the brethren is the devil.
That's
And you have to learn to say, I am a plan of God. You've got to learn to say that. How many times? 70 times 70 per day? How many times are you to forgive? As many as it takes. 70 times 70. Okay. Those two formulas, I will remind you that the way the enemy comes is to say you're not forgiven. So the first person that you got to forgive as many times as it takes is you.
That's right.
It's you.
That's right.
That's the only way you can defend the fact that you are a plan of God, is that you forgive yourself and be a plan of God. Well, I haven't seen me doing anything. You're beating the enemy up. You're beating him up. That's. Let me tell you something. I don't care what. If you can picture this, you've already accomplished much in your life. My God loves to see the devil's butt kicked. He goes, attaboy, yeah. Give me some popcorn. I want to watch the second round. We got to break our religious thoughts or we're not going to understand anything.
Amen.
We've got to get them down to where we can walk in them and we can talk in them.
Yes.
He'll raise up one, and then he'll raise up a Reuben that will defend the call of God.
Amen.
I'm your Reuben this morning, whether you like me or not.
Amen.
I'm encouraging you that you're a plan of God and you're not to die.
Amen.
Okay. Number four. The called one, y'all said that was you, right?
That's me.
The called one must stay innocent and true. No matter how long the journey, or how rough the journey, or how unsure the journey. You got to stay innocent and true. The next thing, other than the devil hitting you, saying you're not worthy, you can't do this, you're unforgiven. Okay? There's step two. What is that? I just said it. Are y'all keeping up with me? You must stay innocent. What does discouragement do to your heart? It makes you bitter and hard. Therefore, you're not that innocent and true person that God wants. You can't allow a bitter or hardness in your heart because that rejects God. You got to be innocent and you got to be true. Now, don't use your definition of innocent. Because we don't really know what that is. I can tell you what mine is. God showed me the other day when I was out fussing at him. You can fuss at God. He's big enough to take you. I was out fussing at him. And he basically said this to me. You got another game? Is there another God? No. What is left to be said after that? I mean, this is not a multiple choice. You ain't got God A, God B, God C. You can fuss, and at the end of the day, he said, but I'm the only thing you got. And I thought you said I was enough. See, God will pin your ears back. And he'll do it quick. He doesn't fool around. You're right, God. You are the only game in town. Never mind. Put you in your place really swift. Then give you a little pat on the behind as you go your way. That's to say, still love you more. Right? Yeah. Come on. Picture God as a real being, not as some fictitious thing you've been taught. You don't get his feelings hurt easy. He does not get his feelings hurt easy.
Yeah.
Number five. Our love and trust for God must be stronger than what we see or feel. And all you got to do is picture your journey, picture Joseph's journey, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. The Bible study or something the other night I shared when I went to that chiropractor, Wednesday. And he was worried, concerned, I feel like giving up. And I said, well, and I explained to him Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in a few short minutes, they had multiple choices, multiple opportunities to give up. Mm-hmm. And fairly logical. Fairly logical. The king of the universe, to them, said, you'll bow your knee or you'll burn. That's a good opportunity to tuck tail and run.
Right.
All he had to do is bow the knee.
Right.
He didn't want them dead anyway. He liked them. He said, you will, or I'll throw you in the furnace. They said, maybe you will, and maybe you won't. You remember that? He said, maybe you will and maybe you won't. Whether we die or whether we live doesn't make any difference. God is still God. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
They made a big, bold choice.
Right.
He heated the oven 7 times hotter. Good chance to cut and run. Good chance. Right? They said, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They bound him. Good chance to bow. It's easy to bow when you're bound. They didn't do it. They were fixing to throw him in. They saw the guys holding them die. They say, never mind. Come on, let's put ourselves in the real picture. They got into that fire. And when there was no Jesus, the King of the universe said, I thought we threw 3 in. But I see a 4th person in there. He looks like the Son of God when there wasn't even a Son of God. Was revelation came. Now I asked the chiropractor, I'll ask you, when's a good time to give up?
Never.
What was the plan of God here? Well, the ropes were burned off. The King of the universe decided he wasn't the King of the universe anymore. Because he said, I'm going to tell you something. When they got out the other side and they were dancing around, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke, the Bible says. He said, there is no God like your God.
Amen.
What was he saying? I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Yep.
And he said, from this point forward, anybody that says anything against their God dies in this furnace. Then he said, I promote you to this and you to that and that, you to that. When was a good time to give up?
Never.
And what was the purpose? To give up? What was there? There was reason, but what was the... I mean, I don't understand. See, it's easy on this side to say, don't ever give up. Now we're looking at Joseph. How many times did he could he have given up? And the world would have suffered.
Yes.
It wouldn't have been Joseph only. It would have been the world that suffered. His family would have starved to death. He would have starved to death. Our love and our trust for God must be stronger than what we see or feel. Here's what I need to ask you right now for today. How much do you love God? How much do you love your God today?
More than I can say.
That's the best answer you can give. Because anybody thinks they can describe their love for God, they haven't loved Him enough yet. How much do you love your God today? Do you trust Him enough to receive your Reuben?
Yes. Amen.
See, you'll tell me quickly, I trust Him enough to receive His will. And then you reject the Reubens. Even though that's part of the will. Do you trust Him enough to receive your Reuben? I didn't ask you if you trust your Reuben. Because the Reuben in this instance was not trustworthy. But he can trust God that Reuben will do what he's supposed to do.
Amen.
Even if I don't like him.
Amen.
See, have you yielded to God's will? Or are you stumbling over your Reubens or your trials? I'm telling you, this is real. This is real life. This is not a good message. This is real life. Because you're not going to go through a day without a trial.
Yeah, right.
It's not going to happen. And the trial could come in the form of a person, a situation. It doesn't make any difference what you title it. It's going to be there. D. I'm going to be your Reuben just for a second and tell you something. Stop protecting yourself. You're doing a really bad job of it.
Yeah.
Stop protecting yourself. You're just screwing it all up. If you're walking in the will of God, you don't need God's protection. That came with His will. Don't ask for more. Just have faith in His protection. Y'all are looking at me funny. Was it you're doing a bad job or what? That came to me this morning. You want to protect yourself, you're doing a really bad job. How do you protect yourself? You don't. You let God do it. E, trust God in spite of people and circumstances.
Yes.
Yes.
You're a people, by the way. You know that?
Yeah.
I'm not the only people in here. You're one, too. So I'm a people to me. I can't even trust me.
Right.
I wish you all could understand this. The minute you stop trusting you and start trusting God, others can trust you.
Yes.
The minute you trust you, others can't trust you.
That's right.
It just won't work. There's a number of people in here who testify to the fact of what's happened when you trusted your feelings and where it took you.
Yes.
If you'd been trusting God at that moment, you'd have told your flesh to shut up. You'd have told your feelings to tie it outside, and you'd have gone on in the plan of God.
Right. Yeah.
You think when the alarm went off this morning that I felt like getting up and going to church? Now, come on. Honestly, do you think I felt that way? I could have had 10,000 other plans that seemed more exciting at the moment. When my wife came again yesterday and said, let's buy this motorcycle. The easiest thing to do is say, yeah, let's buy that. That'll make you happy and it'll get you off my back. Buy it. The harder thing to do is said, we got other things to do with our money. We don't need a motorcycle. Then the devil comes and says, man, your grandkids would love you. Your kids would think you're crazy, but they'd respect you. I'm the one that's got to respect me.
Yes.
I'm the one. And then she can follow. But it's going to be from my steadfastness, my constancy,
right.
One of the fruits of the Spirit. We could name situations like this till the cows come home. Trust God in spite of people and circumstances. And I want to ask you something. Do you think God doesn't want you to have any fun?
No.
See, that's the biggest mistake in the world. When we teach a serious God, like I've been doing, we think that He doesn't want us to have any fun. That's not the case.
Amen.
That's not the case. He enjoys us.
Yes.
Enjoying us. He does that. He's not worried if we spend a couple extra bucks on a motorcycle. That's not the point. The point is right now I don't feel like we need a motorcycle. So I'm not going to go on her feelings. Remember what Reuben said? What did we read about Reuben? He took the responsibility for their decisions. Why? Because he was the head. He was the oldest son. When Eve decided it was all right to not pay any attention to God, the fruit looked good, and I want to go to my husband and say, please, 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 please. He sinned when he didn't tell his wife to be quiet. This is what God says, and we're going to do it no matter what. He sinned against God when he didn't take his headship. You'll never do God's will until you step up and be the head and not the tail.
Amen.
You never will. That means you will control you, or you will allow someone else to do that. Whichever, how it works out. There's nothing illegal, immoral about my wife letting me make the decisions. It's actually absolutely 1,000% correct, biblically. You know why it's correct? Because I take responsibility. I don't look at my wife and say, God, it's the wife you gave me. She's safe. She's safe and secure. Trust God in spite of people. Even if it's your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your enemies, your friends, money, whatever it is. Trust God in spite of people and circumstances. Y'all doing that today?
Yes.
You love Him more than anything else?
Yes.
You trust Him even when things and people don't look so good?
Yep.
You're not stumbling. You're not stumbling, right? You're going to stop protecting yourself because you've really been doing a bad job. Okay. All right. Let's do it the child's way. Why don't you tell me I've really done a bad job?
I've really done a bad job.
You can tell me that. I'm with you on that one. We're totally equal. I have done a bad job of protecting me. It's best to acknowledge that so that I can repent from it. How do I repent? Because I don't want to protect me anymore. And I'm going to trust you, God, in spite of people, places, things. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Now, if somebody here is not saved and safe, you need to come forward and take care of that now. Be a man, be a woman, take care of it. If not, if you don't have that problem, if you have other something else that's really bugging you, you're really struggling with, we'll be happy to pray for you. You might get a Reuben, You might get a sweet word from God, but you trust God no matter what.
Amen.
We're willing. We want to help you.
Yes.
If anybody in here like that, you can come forward. We got me or people around me that will pray. They'll pray for you. Believers that believe what they say will happen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. All hearts clear? I feel like that I need to say this not so much to any specific person, but maybe two, three, four, I don't know how many, that you could have a tremendous breakthrough in your life, absolutely tremendous, if you just stop defending yourself. How many of you know that everybody in here is guilty?
Yes.
Everybody's guilty. Without God, without faith, we ought to be afraid of everything.
Yes.
But there's several people in here that have a tremendous release if they would just repent. That means admit what Reuben admitted, that I have operated improperly.
Yes.
I have touched God's anointing. I've spoken things that I shouldn't speak. I've had attitudes I shouldn't have. And for that, I'm sorry, God.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's not best for you. It's not best for me. It's not best for the kingdom. And I release that to you now in Jesus' name. Some of you have history that needs to be released. You need to understand if you're born again, it's not your history. You can't claim it anymore. It's illegal. It's wrong. It's sick. You're free. Free indeed. And I don't care if your history is prison or if it's a murder. I can't tell you the people I've been around that God has set free.
Amen.
And when He does it, and they receive it, they're free.
Amen.
I will remind you right now, just by the Spirit, that the man that was a Reuben to me, that called me up and encouraged me the first time I ever met him, he offered to kill my wife for $500. So don't judge a Reuben. God has set him free. You are not worse than that. No exceptions. Freedom is yours. You must take it. Release is yours. You must take it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then let me speak to you the desire of my heart. A priestly blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. Receive that now. May He be gracious to you, show you His favor, and give you His peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we've done what You told us to do. We've said it the best we could in the way You've instructed us to do it. Now we release it to accomplish its work. Your word will now accomplish its work in these people. And whoever listens to these tapes or CDs, it goes with the power and the authority of God because we delivered it in faith. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Let this priestly blessing consume our lives, and we will be faithful to give You praise as we trust You in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Amen. Y'all may be dismissed.